Hello and welcome back to Dial H for HeroClix. I'm your host, Calder Ness. This episode, we're going to be chatting all things listener questions. We skipped the mailbag last week. We're getting to a whole bunch of them this week. It's going to be a good time, as well as some light HeroClix news and the return of WizKids to Origins. This is episode 515. Howdy, howdy. Let's get rowdy.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional
HeroClix
help.
I have the high ground.
Ooh, yeah, you may have the high ground.
It's over, Simeon.
Yeah.
Instant deadpan.
Over six people think I am funny.
I'm your Captain America.
That was just you in a costume.
You absolute fool.
Simeon will be able to edit that out.
That's cool because it's expensive.
I'm going to make your outfits like that forever.
Are you kidding?
Wow. Dial H for HeroClix is brought to you by CoolStuffInc.com, where you can find cool stuff in stock every day, including all the latest HeroClix singles and sealed products. Make sure you check them out at CoolStuffInc.com. Use code DIAL5, DIAL5, for 5% off your Cool Stuff Inc. order. You can also get HeroClix straight from the source. Go to shop.wizkids.com. Use code DIALH10, DIALH10. For 10% off your order of in-stock HeroClix. No special deals, no promos. Although they did have a special deal recently. Don't know if it's still up, but some HeroClix products were 40% off. Some really cool old convention exclusives were like sub 10 bucks. I don't know if that's still happening, but it might be worth a look. Might be worth, you know, check it out. Joining me, like always, in the studio is Simeon Bruce. What's going on, Simeon?
Marked safed from the tornadoes.
Dang, dude, no joke. That was wild. I'm very happy that neither of us, our homes anyways, were like in the path of that. It was very, whatever. I guess you could tell a listener. Listener may or may not know about this. I think it made national weather news, though.
Yes, I think it did. So Nebraska had not quite the first F5 tornado because the rotation velocity wasn't quite there. So I don't know if they've officially said that it was an F5. But essentially, like, the deadliest form of tornado that can possibly happen. First one in over 11 years. Rotational velocity somewhere around 220 miles an hour. And the actual diameter of the tornado was 1.5 to 2 miles in diameter, which is an insane amount of space. I've driven past the... So it mainly landed in, like, Elkhorn, tore up a lot of Blair. So really far west, north Omaha. It didn't hit Maine, Omaha, thankfully, because there's just like a much denser population in Maine, Omaha. And as of now, no one in Nebraska was seriously or critically injured. No casualties or anything like that. But goodness, it was a wild day. And I got stuck out by the airport because I was picking someone up from the airport while the tornado landed at the airport. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I was at Carter Lake, which...
hey, yo, shout out all the homies in Carter Lake.
Yeah, it's about... So, like, the Casey's at Carter Lake, if anyone has ever been around Nebraska enough to know, it's about a block away from the turn for the airport. So I was about a half mile from the tornado that touched down on the tarmac.
Dang, dude.
And it was wild. I couldn't see anything out of my car windows. I was just like, well, I don't know what's happening anymore. This was a bad idea. I probably should have stayed home. But no, it was a really wild time. There's a lot of people that are obviously affected, a lot of homes destroyed and stuff, but luckily no lives lost that I've heard of at this point. So yeah, it's wild how much damage was done. And also, just like, tornadoes are weird. Sometimes they like they destroy certain things and then just leave other things perfectly fine. Like full, like 50-year-old trees, this whole forest was like taken out in like northwest Omaha. But then the little orchard, the greenhouse that's right next to those trees, none of those trees touched. So it's like,
aww.
It's just wild.
This was such a, like, I don't know, weird thing, but what was it? Somebody came in the other day to the office and they were like, a package of mine was found like 100 miles away in Iowa. Like, somebody messaged me on Facebook saying, hey, we got your Amazon package. Like the Monday following the tornado. I'm like, that's wild that things were destroyed, whatever, tossed around so far. And then it's like, yeah, it looks like everything's fine inside your Amazon package. You can come pick it up or I can send it to you. I'm like, what in the world? So, yeah, tornadoes, how do they work? So weird. Well, with that, kind of what made you happy this week, my man? Probably not getting caught in the tornado, but besides that.
No, I mean, yeah, like, so a big part of it was just the fact that no, like, home damage, no personal damage, and other than, like, I've heard of, like, at least one casualty in Iowa, but no one in Nebraska was severely injured or anything, so that's all, like, great, good, well, like, at least when it comes to weathering storms. But aside from that, aside from storms, because it's always what made us happy is weather, but aside from that, what made me happy was I got to run some fun pieces, some fun new pieces. I ran the Chase She-Hulk, the Samara She-Hulk that's crawling out of the TV. I ran Titania from Disney Plus set. I ran the Xavier School Wolverine Super Rare, which I haven't played that piece in a long time, and I kind of forgot that half of his utility is being on an X-Men team, so putting him on a team with no X-Men was bad, but still a fun piece. Then I ran the Kangaroo Wonder Woman and Jumpa, the 25-point line, and what was my 50-point piece? Party Thor, because I could not find Black
Right on.
So, yeah, I ran that little team. It was just like a play a 25-point piece, a 50-point piece, a 75, 100, and 150-point. Like, that was the only premise of, the team build. And so that's what I did. I just grabbed things that I hadn't played or that I hadn't played in a really long time. And it worked really well. That Chase She-Hulk is kind of insane. She's puts out a ton of damage. So she's like Faust, like the Wonder Woman 80th Faust, but if she also just put out a ton of damage. She also needs line of fire, so there are certain times where her special damage power just wasn't super effective. But her combined with Titania just shutting off certain powers and stuff, it was a really fun team. It was really interesting to see the different maneuverability kind of things I could do and like random strategies I could throw. So like I wouldn't have an outwit. I wouldn't have anyone that had enough damage to really like hit somebody, but I could quake with Titania, give them a copyright token, and then like punch through their special defense. And that happened on more than one occasion. It was really cool. But yeah, made me happy. Always like playing random.
Itching to get out there and play. I haven't been able to do it yet. That sounds like a fun team.
Yeah, it really. I mean, I think I would change Wolverine out. I think he was like the weak link. I was like, oh wow, this dial is not good at 150 points anymore, especially not on an X-Men theme team.
Oof. That was the whole by the numbers thing, right, that they did?
Yes, that was that build.
I'm also bummed I can't make it, whatever, this weekend for Revenge of the Fifth. A big juicy 500 points Golden Age event with like a cosmic theme or whatever it has to be. Shame. What made me happy this week? Super quick, went back home this weekend, and my mother and a few local people in town had started a community theater in Lyman County, which is where I'm from. Very small town of 280-something people with a few smaller, somehow, towns around it and a handful of bigger towns around it make up Lyman County, where I grew up, and they are doing a community theater. So their first show was Alice in Wonderland, which I thought was quite, ambitious for our scale of people and players to put on. But it was really good. So a few weeks ago, I went and saw a practice of it where it wasn't very good. Not a lot of lines memorized. A lot of people not fully understanding how to cheat out. A few like random bits and bobs. But also, it's just the local farm and ranch folk. I didn't really put too much on them to have like the greatest play in the world. But after like, I think just like 2 weeks from then, once they had all put on their costumes, once they were all had all the props, and honestly, man, they really kicked butt. Like besides one or two times during the show where you could kind of tell they had to flub lines in order to like keep the scene going, and besides some awkward set transitions, I was really impressed for the first play that they ever put on in Kennebec. It was kind of amazing that it like looked that good. I've got a few pictures that'll probably be up on Facebook by the time people hear this. If they follow me, just Calderness on Facebook, but it was really cool. The costumes looked really good, and I think everybody just did a phenomenal job. So, like, especially shout out the main girl, that was Alice. She was like 11 years old and just crushed it. I was like, oh my gosh, that is insane that you have memorized this much and are also like that funny, like being able to act like with the funny little goofs and gags that are inside the script. And then also the Red Queen did a great job, who is ironically my first grade teacher. So Mrs. Johnson, you killed it being the Red Queen. It was really impressive. So yeah, it was just super fun. I saw it twice this last weekend and they did improve. The Friday show, their first show, was like solid. And the Saturday show was like really improved upon. It's like even better. So they did a great job. The entire cast and crew, they deserve like, you know, pat on the back, the round of applause, everything, because, you know, doing it for some small town people, I think they had like 100 chairs in the audience and like filled up pretty well each night, you know, maybe around like 90 or so people. Some people weren't sitting in all the chairs. Some people were in like the bleachers. This is like in the basketball gym. They were doing this. It's crazy. So that was just a ton of fun being able to go back home, see all that. Thankfully, it was still just raining at home as well. So I really didn't miss any crazy weather besides the tornado. It was still just rainy at home, which is great. And then shout out local Hero Host player. I was able to get two shakes, one on my way there, one on my way back from home at Cold Stone Creamery in Sioux Falls. Chocolate Reese's peanut butter shake was good. And then what was actually really good is the cookie dough ice cream shake. Ooh, delicious. There's the food. There's the food, what made us happy for this week. There's the food quota filled. Talked about weather, talked about food. Now we're allowed to talk about HeroClix.
Them's the rules.
That's right. I don't make them. It's just how the show goes. That's facts. Let's go ahead. Let's jump into the news here. Really quickly, before we get into any of the crazy spicy stuff, there was an IPF tournament hosted. Thank you so much to Azale at the Alpha Strike for hosting an IPF tournament. He had 22 players this past weekend on April 28th, and the winner was Manny Kinks. He played the team that, I don't know if this is his name or if it's Clay's name, but it's I'm a Shark. By the old Minx Master. So this was 400 points with the new Silver Age rules. His main force, I do love this team, by the way. His main force had King Shark from Harley Quinn and the Gotham Girls at 90 points with the Power Gem. Green Arrow from Elseworlds with the Goblin Glider, giving him a little bit of running shot flight. Love to see it. The DC Con exclusive Joker. I assume, who was he? Probably... he had exospecs on him. I guess there's a few people he could have been. Is that what I'm seeing? He could have been Blade or Jubilee or Flash. No, this Flash is a super friend. So I think it was probably for Blade or Jubilee is what I assume this Joker was for. Because they both have Monster? Yeah, they do. Okay. And then he had the 058 Legacy Ace from the new Royal Flush Gang. The Notorious Harley Quinn at 50 points, which is kind of unique. And then, of course, he had the 002 black shirt Scott Porter with the Star Sapphire ring sideline. Oh, he had Kong, too, on the sideline. So I guess Joker could have also been Kong. That's kind of crazy cool. Kong, Scrappy Doo, Destroyer, Gorilla Grodd, Black Vulcan, Blade Jubilee, and the Beat Batman Animated Series Flash. For those that want to know his objects, he had Pool of Lava, Crushed Giant Bug, Main Force, Scaffolding, Main Force. His tarot deck was Two of Pentacles, King of Swords, Ace of Cups, Page of Wands, and the High Priestess. This, in my opinion, I think further cements that Silver Age this weekend at the Rock Cup, HeroClix for Huntington's, is going to be insane. Because looking at this team, you know, again, no offense to Manny. This is, like, actually kind of props to Manny. Because this is, like, completely unique, out of the box, not at all what I thought would be played kind of team, you know, like King Shark at 90 points. That is wild. That's like seeing, like, that's sick.
Especially
so.
Yeah. But the Harley Quinn and the Gotham Girls one. Well, yeah. It's super unique. And if you can put some sort of like water terrain down, and it like obviously like makes it like way better, which he has right. Pool of Lava as water terrain, and then also Crushed Giant Bug has half water terrain, so he has those two options. But yeah, being what a not on a secret six team, or no, is it, does it have to be a secret six team?
No, it's just characters.
Yeah, if it's five or more, he has stealth, and then
so yeah, he's got six
characters. Yeah, he has a plus one to all combat values, so he's a 13-4-7 when he flurries.
That is true. Ooh.
Sidestep free, move his speed value. Yeah, he definitely crosses a large map pretty easily. And yeah, power gem just absolutely slamming somebody with like that exploit top dial. So I don't hate that play. I used to love trying to get that guy to work back when he was modern. So yeah, I really like that. And then of course the classic like green arrow that just,
yeah
I don't think you really have to talk about like the fact that yeah, hit target can't use defense powers until your next turn, so if you hit, doesn't matter if you KO them or whatever, if you hit, then like they don't have defense powers until your next turn, so
yeah,
you can do follow-up attacks and stuff, giving him the goblin glider so that he's got flight and running shot. Yeah, they're, it's definitely the wild, wild west when it comes to silver. There's just so many options, so many like interesting pieces that you can combine with new stuff, old stuff, just whatever. And yeah, I think it's going to be really fun. I think this team's actually one of the more fun ones that I've seen.
I really like the more I look at it, the more stout it really is, honestly. Like,
yeah.
But it just seems, I don't know, only having six figures on a 400-point team just seems wild when there's like easily more than six figures on some modern teams right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But like, I see everybody's role. Like, don't get me wrong, it's like really sick. There's a lot of TK, there's a lot of Perplex. He can easily mobilize King Shark. Green Arrow, never looked at his speed value before. Of course, it's a 10 with Leap Climb. So yeah, now that he's got Running Shot, the dude's just a 13 on his own. So like, the team's got insane offensive capabilities. Getting rid of like Apocalypse's Mastermind, if anybody's running the 2x2, getting rid of like Thanos's defense power through Outwit and everything. I mean, like, Green Arrow's always just been so good. But yeah, big shout out to Manny. He did a great job. I watched a little bit of the stream. It was pretty dang fun watching it. So again, shout out the Alpha Strike. And then really quickly, David Way came in second. I might get some of these names messed up. Cody Mante, he came in third. James Tilton, fourth. Matt Donham, fifth. William A. Taylor, sixth. A. Williams, or Tucson Tabletop Gaming, came in seventh. And Francisco Laredo came in eighth. I'll just go to eighth. Yeah, shout out to everybody that was able to come out. Thank you guys so much for supporting the IPF. Seriously, that rocks. I do, like, then, man, looking at this, there's even more creative stuff on these teams. We have an old school Witch Queen Lefay non-legacy card being played for David. Like, Cody, he's playing Agatha Harkness. Like, that's kind of cool. Like, old school Blackheart and everything. That's really neat. James Tilton pulling up with the Immortal Hulk build. Like, there's some really cool... I was going to see how long it took me to click before I got to a Thanos build, but there's Matt Donham righting the wrongs with his Screet right. team, playing some Thanos. Playing some... man, some nasty cosmic Thanos stuff. Yeah, dang, dude!
Then Space Ghost also has Safeguard Opposing Prob.
Yeah.
When he uses Perplex on somebody. Yeah, the team's definitely
I like Matt Donham's team. I really like how cosmic-y he is. That's sick. Space Ghost, Q, Thanos, Magog, or Mangog, Saint Walker, Yakur. That is so fun. It's always fun when you can just look at the pieces and be like, oh, that's the keyword. Yeah, same thing. William A. Taylor, the cosmic Thanos build. Merlin, Venom, Thanos, Cosmos, Space Ghost. Shout out Space Ghost, coast to coast, getting played. The double Kong team from James Tilton. That's wild. Yeah, silver is just, yeah, it's the Wild West. I could probably say that a million times. It's just wild seeing what people are playing from it. So it's going to be really cool to see a lot of like creativity this weekend. Although I'll be honest, this format looks like it might be kind of a pain to play in. I won't even lie. It's just because it is such a Wild West, it's like I have no idea what my matchups are. Like, literally zero clue. I would have never said in a million years someone's going to be pulling up with King Shark, Uncommon Harley Quinn for Notorious, and winning the event. Like, that's gnarly. It's just cool when something like that can win an event in a format. Like, that's really sick. So we're seeing some diverse teams, though, so I love it. Kind of jumping on to the main news this week, WizKids announced earlier just today that they are going to be returning to Origins in Columbus, Ohio. That is going to be at the end of June, so June 19th through the 23rd. I'll just read the post. WizKids HeroClix says, start planning your trip to Ohio. This June 19th through the 23rd, HeroClix returns to the 2024 Origins Game Fair. The WizKids team is thrilled to partner with local store Heroes and Games, who will run events all weekend long. Everyone who participates in any HeroClix event, even a Learn to Play, will walk away with a promo. Promos and offers to be determined, as always, and are while supplies last. Prize sign-up specifics will be announced soon. Let's go! So pretty cool. So yeah, again, shout out Heroes and Games. It's Jay Major's store down there in Columbus, Ohio. So that's going to be really cool. WizKids has not been at Origins since 2019. That has to be it. That was definitely the last one because that was ABPI. And that was a great event. Yeah. Origins is, it's a lot smaller. You and I were both at that event. It was a blast. But I don't know, it was a big area for HeroClix. Origins always felt like there's a lot of room for HeroClix there, which always felt super nice. So fingers crossed that this little foray into it, where it's kind of being hosted more so by a store, and maybe, I don't know what capacity, like official WizKids proper is going to be hosting it there, but we'll see. But hopefully that leads the room to get in there. I've enjoyed Gen Con. I like Gen Con. But, maybe the future is Nationals goes back to Origins. We'll have to see. I don't know what any of the plans are, but at the very least, more HeroClix at more conventions, always a good thing. That's what I'd love to see.
Yeah. I think Origins was, in my opinion, I preferred the Origins setup to Gen Con. Not that, you have to choose one or the other, that one's better, but just I liked Columbus, Ohio a little bit more, and I think it was more so there's a lot of hotel options that are right in the area, so I just walk there every day. But also right across from HeroClix was people that were trying to self-publish board games and stuff, so you could go and test out all these random board games. And at Gen Con, where HeroClix was being played, it was not in that area. It was in the actual tournament play area where it was only for tournament play stuff.
Yeah, Gen Con is it's a big convention, so there's a lot of people. It is just crowded. Gen Con's just crowded, straight up. And Origins is just, less crowded. It's way easier to walk around. It's a smaller convention. It just feels easier to get in and around. And I will say, it's a pain in the butt to park there if you're not, in Simeon's case, where you can, walk. It is a bit of a pain in the butt to park. And I do really like Origins. It's just, I don't know. It feels like a bigger, more open area that HeroClix had, especially when they got the big WizKids ball hanging up. Love the ball. Big fan. So we'll see. Hopefully in the future we can get some official Origins tournament. Again, these are official tournaments, but this is a very soon announcement with the event being a month and a half away. So I wouldn't say it's definitely not going to replace National. There's no way. And then it's probably not going to be anything insanely crazy. I don't know if it would be an Adepticon level, because even Adepticon had 3 months out announcement. So we'll see if there's any crazy, 300 modern Origins champion with a buy into Worlds, official pool tournament. But be cautiously optimistic. Wait to see what they say for tournaments and see what happens. And then if you're going to go to Origins or if you live close by, it'll be a great event to pop into. So it's really cool. Again, more HeroClix at more events. That's everything I love to see. But that is really about it for news. We're just kind of doing a few things, having some unboxings. The Edison's Tabletop unboxing did come out, I want to say, a little over a week ago now.
Some pretty cool stuff. 6 days ago.
So, yeah.
Just about a week, yeah.
About a week. Was there anything from Deadpool Weapon X from there that you wanted to talk about, Simeon?
I mean, obviously, like, the legacy Deadpool and Bob, I think, is the biggest one.
It is so sick.
Yeah. There's that one. There's the non-prime version of Colossus that was really cool.
Yeah, he's neat.
And then there's the Super Cable with what I feel like is at least half the sculpt is just Big Gun.
Yeah, dude, that rocks. That's easily, you turn that on its side, it's bigger than Cable, right? Like, that thing is massive. Big muscles, bigger firepower. I had to double check what the flavor text was. Yeah, that Cable's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a very unique Cable. Like, if you were to just show me the dial and say, guess who that is, I'd be like, I have no idea. And I definitely would never guess Cable with, like, the spattering of powers that this dude has. But I absolutely love it. I love that big sculpt. Him and Forge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The totally not compensating for anything sculpts. I love them. I love Giant Gun, Forge, and Cable. It's so sick. What do you think of, speaking of sculpts, a controversial one? Deep Thoughts Beast or a Thinker Beast.
Yeah, deep, special powered Deep Thoughts. Yeah, I want to put him on the Nick Fury Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Kang time throne, I think is what it was actually the time called. Not what people referred to it as, but yeah, no. I want to sculpt swapped him for that because, yeah, it
nice.
Is.
Nice.
No, it's funny. Supposed to be, yeah, I think it was supposed to be like the Thinker or whatever that sculpture
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And so they got there with the Deep Thoughts, but definitely looks a little bit strange because obviously he's massive and blue instead of sculpted right. in like marble.
Yeah, I mean, people made all the classic the Thinker jokes when they first saw this sculpt. Oh, he's sitting on something, not a rock, something else. But yeah. So, I know I liked Edison's unboxing. He also showed us the last prime we needed to see with Vox Ignis. So that was pretty cool. Very like unique figure in his own right. So I really enjoyed it. So if you are not subscribed to Edison's Tabletop, make sure to go check that out. He was also last year's IPF or one of last year's IPF winners. So like that was really cool. So just make sure you check it out. He was able to show off some really cool stuff. And yeah, I love that Deadpool and Bob. Makes me so happy that I've hung on to mine. Especially referencing the Sheep Gun. That's just so sick. I love that kind of flavor in it. Where it's like, this isn't on the dial. Where it's like, no one could have just picked this figure up and been like, oh, how do I make a legacy card for it? This is like, you had to have lived it. Because yeah. there's no other way to find out that they came with the special word balloon that had the, like, let's make a sheep. Like, that's so sick. So, I love Deadpool and Bob. So far, the two we've seen, Deadpool, Bob, Hellcat, are the three. Deadpool, Bob, Hellcow, Professor X, Magneto. I'm loving the legacy cards for this set. These have been some of like the most, I don't know, they're good. They're all good. None of them feel like, oh, whatever, who cares yet. But they all just feel fun. Like, I want to build teams around Professor X, Magneto, freaking love Hellcow, and then just love Deadpool and Bob. So I'm really enjoying this set of legacy cards, especially for this set. And we almost know the entire set for Deadpool Weapon X. We have a ton of chases we haven't seen, but we're only missing like four or five super rares.
Yeah, a few super rares. I think maybe one rare still left.
Something like that.
And, yeah. We haven't seen all the legacies, obviously, but no, so far I'm really digging the duo stuff that they've been kicking out with legacies too. They've been finding ways to make like duo attack kind of work, not really work, or just like reference the fact that there's two people on the sculpt. It's kind of fun. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, right on. Since it's really about all we wanted to talk about for news, let's just go ahead and jump into a ton of listener questions.
There are dozens of us. Dozens!
First one over on our email. Andrew asks, he sent this a while ago, back mid-April. We're finally getting to a big listener question thing, so sorry about that, Andrew, but this is from our email at dialhforheroclix@gmail.com. If you want to send us a question, feel free to. It says, hello once again, gentlemen. Though it's been a while since I last mentioned the show, I remain a weekly listener. Well, thank you, Andrew. It has also been quite some time since I played or purchased any clicks, but I've started up again with the Death of Superman Iconics pack, as well as the Royal Flesh Gang OP kit. I know Calder is a fan of the new Doomsday, but I was wondering if you gentlemen had any thoughts on a fun team using him, or whether it's simply the most fun to run him at 300. I was also curious if you gentlemen have been able to play with the Flush Gang yet. As always, you guys are hilarious. Keep up all the great Clicks work. Thank you so much, Andrew. We really do appreciate that. I guess starting off with the one thing I can't really answer, I've not played with any of the Royal Flush Gang yet. And I think we were in Florida or in Adepticon when they did,
the local version of it. Yeah, because the local judge, Mike, messaged me about it. And I was like, ooh, yep. So
sure would be nice if I was there.
That was Florida. Okay. So we haven't picked them up yet, but obviously, like, I could ask somebody to borrow them or something if I wanted to. Right. I haven't like taken a good like long hard look at what they do, but Doomsday, for sure. I think he's one of those pieces that really like niches in at like 300 points. I feel like you always have to play him at 300 points, but you never play him in like a 300 point format. I think you play him in like a 5-6 plus, because then you can have other stuff that's going on. They can't ignore him. They can't not ignore him. You know, like they have to deal with him. And then once they try and deal with him, then they actually deal with him, you know, kind of thing. And that's the niche that he's always fit. Maybe 600 points with the newest one. And then also the LE, or
the convention exclusive
300.1.
That one's so bad. That one is so bad at 300 points.
I always wanted both of them to work so much. And
fair.
Yeah. Like that old one, just, you'd think seven stop.
He just never did, good,
and it just somehow isn't.
That's the weirdest part. It's just, it's exactly what you said. It just somehow isn't. I honestly think if you want to build around Doomsday and really try to buff him up, you can probably get away with playing him at 175 if you want to give him like a ton of support. Again, though, I love playing him at 300 points. I would just say try to play him as much as you can in like big formats. Basically everything Simeon was saying. We played 500 points 2 months ago or something, and I played a team that I dubbed the Superman Stunt Squad. That was like the common Lex Luthor, the common Bizarro from Notorious, Zadar Sanon, and then this Doomsday. And then you equip, which is really fun, Zadar Sanon, the Hell Cycle. They instantly leave the board, and then Doomsday is next to the Hell Cycle, so he can just equip that. Giving him like mystics to chew through, or plus two speed, or just anything is just really sick, or like sidestep plus one speed. So there's definitely a lot of fun things you can do with just buffing up Doomsday. And I'm sure if you wanted to just make him smaller and play him at 175, that's solid. I don't really like, I'm not in love with playing him at 125, starting with like impervious and everything. I'm not big into, right? He starts impervious. Yeah, he's like impervious. Only has two stop clicks. He loses super strength. He only has one click of that special speed. I'm not big on the 125, but like 175, I think is fine. 300 is just so sick, though. Shout out, I'd be wrong to not shout this out, but like Mikey from Lincoln, his buddy had the Goonsday team, which is just, it's just Doomsday and you play a bunch of goons, which is really funny. But that, like, as silly as it is to just run a team called Goonsday, it actually is kind of good, because there's a goon with empower, there's a goon with support, and there's a few other like kind of okay like attacking goons that can actually help Doomsday out, which is pretty neat. So, you know, Doomsday only taking one damage at a time, you heal him up with the support, it's pretty solid. So Goonsday, if you want to have just a fun time, Andrew, maybe check that out. But that's everything Andrew had to say. Hopefully that answered your Doomsday and Royal Flush Gang related questions. And maybe, because I kind of forgot about the Royal Flush Gang, maybe you'll have to go try to play that more. Try to scrounge up and ask for those figures and see if we can play them. But over on Discord, we have a couple of questions. So really quickly, Discord is Patreon exclusive for the Dial H Discord. Costs about $5 a month in order to get access to the Discord. Getting access to the Discord does get you access to 5 entries into our giveaway we do every 3 months, gets you a token every month. Again, we ship out all our stuff on a tri-monthly basis, just because we are shipping so much. This just helps save us some cost. So just so you know, and then yeah, you can go ahead and support the show for as little as $5 a month, gets access to our Discord. Again, many people have told me we have one of the best Discord communities for HeroClix, which is really cool. We have a lot of just like really cool people in the Discord, a lot of fun chats, Typically, you might be able to just jump in at, you know, any time at night. There might be somebody in the voice chat, either team building or playing some practice games of HeroClix, all sorts of fun stuff. So these questions come from our Patreon. If you want to join the Patreon, you can get access to the Discord. Wesley R. asks, he's got a slew of questions. We're just going to kind of go through these. What would you think about a gravity feed themed around the old Adam West Batman show and the Linda Carter Wonder Woman? And he said, yes, I'm old. I don't know if Wesley does or doesn't know, but there was an old gravity feed for Batman.
What was it? Batman's
66?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it had the trap mechanic, the elaborate trap mechanic.
Oh, yeah, elaborate death trap, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's around the same time that we got, like, the shark, Batman with the shark, the surfing Batman, and the one with the bomb that he, like, runs off and throws.
Oh, yeah, throws it in the pier, yeah. The bomb, the surfing, and then, like, the fact that the shark was actually, like, a piece, I loved those. That was a time where it felt like, that was in like that 2013, 2014 era of HeroClix, where they were just given everything in gravity feed. It just felt like, I don't know, HeroClix at the time was just having a lot of fun. And this was definitely part of that. It was very goofy. Probably one of my favorite traits.
Everyone had like big word bubbles or giant like effects or something. Like, yeah.
The egg man with the big crack sound effect with a big egg next to him was hatching. I love that sculpt. The Batman and Robin climbing up the side of a building chase is hilarious. But there was already a gravity feed, I guess, to answer Wesley's question. But I don't know. I've never seen the Linda Carter Wonder Woman. I don't know who else was all in that show. Probably Steve Trevor, probably Etta Candy, probably Cheetah. But I think at the very least, a Iconics where it's just Linda Carter's Wonder Woman, I think that would sell like really well. I think that'd be a really cool like figure to have. I don't know if anything else in the show is as iconic. I've never seen it. I know my mom would really like it because she grew up watching Linda Carter Wonder Woman and she likes that show. So there you go.
Yeah. And I mean, if they really wanted to flesh it out, like you could even make not like a gravity feed. You could make a main five figure booster set using like the old like Clark and Lois show, like small, like there's been a dozen sitcom-esque kind of superhero shows that you could pull stuff from.
Kind of along the same lines, he asks, what would you think about an Iconics of Christopher Reeve's Superman and Helen Slater's Supergirl? I have not seen any of their movies. Probably not going to. Not a big Superman fan. I know it's a shock to a lot of you. But again, even I am aware of like the cultural significance of like Superman, Superman 2, all that stuff. Again, I'm sure that's a product a lot of people would like if WizKids could ever get like the likenesses rights to those actors. But yeah. Yeah.
I genuinely don't know. I think Christopher Reeve's Superman, it would have to be... I feel like Superman just has such a plain face that I think you would need like action clicks to get like the actual likeness done. Yeah. Because Christopher Reeves, like obviously like, you know, you'd be able to pick him up out of a lineup, but when you make that, you know, 1/60th of the scale or whatever it is. I'd be up for it as long as it was somehow very adapted to like the movie that it was specifying.
Yeah, I'm down with that. Wesley asks again here, do you think we will ever get an Amalgam Age set with crossovers from Marvel and DC? I just feel like no way.
No.
As much as I'd want it.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Even like people have been like, oh, they're in talks of doing like a second amalgam. Like the first amalgam was back in like 1994 or something. I don't remember exactly when.
It was 3 years ago.
Yeah, whenever Marvel and DC first did that, and they have not done like a co-opted comic run since, because that was like a truly it ran under the amalgam name, and it was just like a cross between both characters. The problem is like, you really get into the artist like writes and the writers like stuff. And so like, I don't know, if they were to take only legacy characters, like only the big names, and they weren't to take anyone that was made in the last 30-ish years, they could probably get away with it. But also, do they want to? Like, that's just the thing where it's, does DC want to make happy with Marvel? Does Marvel want to, like, give DC any, like, fuel for, like, you know, comics or whatever? I don't know. It would be really cool, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, just one of those things where it's like, I don't know if they can play ball enough that we'd, like, ever get some cool stuff like that again.
When will Taco Bell release Coke-Pepsi? Like the double cola that everyone's been begging for.
Taco Bell, we've been begging you guys to release Coke-Pepsi. When do we get it?
Yeah.
When do we get Mellow Mountain Yellow Dew? When do we get Mellow Mountain Soda?
Bello Baja Mountain. Yeah.
Bello Baja Mountain Blast. Please? Fine. Keep making more Doritos, tacos, I guess. Whatever. I think every player has had at least one experience with a figure that looked significantly better or worse on paper than in actual play. Can you talk a little about the transition from theory to practice and why some play out differently than what we expect? I think the biggest thing most players either don't realize or think about either when building a team or bring it to the board is the map is the, like, biggest, most, literally the most important thing in HeroClix. The map makes and breaks every single team possibly. And I've myself have fallen into a pitfall where with the new maps where I only have one line to place my team, where I'm like, oh, I want to make this big Alpha Strike team. This person's going to carry everybody up. Then they can do all this free stuff after they're placed. Doesn't work anymore unless I have a ton of sidestep carry or something to that effect, because I can't actually get everybody adjacent to my taxi anymore except for two people at any given time. So I think the biggest thing team building lacks, or what you don't realize what makes a figure good or bad, is how to actually either mobilize the figure or how positioning will work on certain given maps. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I'm going to play all these pieces, and they look all nice and neat in my little team builder, but then I actually put them on the board and it's like, oh geez, who needs to be next to who needs to be here, who needs to be there? Because I've lost like top 8, top 4 games because I probably should have put a figure like one space to the left versus to the right before, you know. So that's my biggest fault that I find anyways from building a team and just looking at it, oh cool, that's a lot of cool figures, and then putting them on the map, figuring out where they should be, where they need to be, what their positions look like. And I just think that's where a lot of things get lost in translation when you actually start to be like, okay, but what in practice, what does it actually look like to run this team? Because it's another thing to say, yeah, this guy TK's here, this dude perplexes, whatever. It's another thing to be like, can I see you for TK? Can I see you for every perplex I need to get off? Can I get my outwit next to there when this guy needs to attack? It's a lot of moving parts. Bit of a rant there, but that's what I would say is the biggest difference between building and then actually playing a team.
Yeah, I agree. I think, yeah, I wouldn't say there's like a figure that like specifically stands out where I was like, oh, this is going to be really good or this is going to be really bad. There's been figures that I've definitely underestimated, and then later on I was like, wow, that's impressive. And usually those are like the vanilla kind of like figures, like Red Widow. I probably on first glance was just like, okay, yeah, like some flurry, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, to be fair, only in pulp is it really like popping off, but, still like just a insanely good utility piece for the points, which I think is something that's definitely undervalued sometimes, is just how good is this combination of stats and like simple powers for the points. And, so that's probably like the number one time that I can like say I've undervalued something is just when it's really good for the points and the powers and stuff. And it's just like a simple kind of like no big text on like the card, but it's just got like the right numbers and the right values and just fits like a good spot in teams. And then something that I've overestimated, I mean, anything that's got like a ton, like the opposite, where it's got a ton of stuff going on, but it's like two clicks long and it dies in the first like attack every single time.
Which,
yeah, plenty of stuff that's like that. I know like Prime Q, obviously there's like ways to protect Prime Q and like things similar where it's just like the single click, but there's a lot of times where someone would just plop a Surtur down against somebody and position it right where there's like, and your Q is going to take one penetrating, and you're just like, ah, yes, okay, forgot about that, and now I'm down 30 points, you know.
Oof.
Yeah, so that's probably like, not to say that like Prime Q isn't good because of that, but it's like something where it's like on paper not as like hard to deal with as it looks like he would be, because it looks like he'd be really hard to deal with. Doesn't actually end up being that hard to deal with.
Probably my worst figure that I ever thought was like worse, and they turned out just being insanely good. And it's all like, honestly, I don't know if this is ever even a thing I'd ever said on the podcast before, but it's kind of embarrassing to say now. But at the time, I remember seeing Venom Magneto be crazy expensive, $250, $300. And I was like, oh, it's just a normal Chase, not even Ultra Chase. Like, what the heck? And looking at him, I was like, dude's two clicks long. And he TKs twice for free, like whatever, you know, like, so like at the time completely wrote him off, because I was like, there's plenty of ways to mobilize pieces. There's plenty of, like, the game is super mobile already. Like, I don't think a double TK is that good. You know, we already had Flash, we already had Oz, you know, for a further TK. So I was like number one hater, not number one hater, but I was just like not seeing it. I was not like, I don't think Venom Magneto is that good. I don't think he's a good carry piece, which he still like isn't. He's like a piece that can carry. Like, he's got Passenger 4 and whatever, but like, he's a piece that can carry, sure, I guess. But I just was not seeing his value at all. Not when there was like Flash, not when there was Oz, like I said. So, and then I was instantly wrong. Like, instantaneously, like, people are like, nah, dude, you're so incredibly wrong. It's not even funny. Like, people lost their mind for, who was it? The Jean Grey from the Uncanny X-Men starter. And she was 50 points, and she could TK twice as free. And I remember at the time being like, I get it. She's 50 points. This is 15 less. But it's also been like 4 or 5 years from then. And I was still just not seeing it until Venom Magneto was everywhere, and he was causing me insane problems in tournaments all the time, literally until he rotated. So that was probably my worst case of just undervaluing a figure so extraordinarily, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the biggest way to, whatever, the biggest way to like figure it out is build a team and play it. That's the biggest thing, where it does not even have to be a competitive match. It just has to be, if you're ever just on the fence, like, man, I think this piece is really, really good, build a team and play them. Like, right now, that's where I'm at, and I think a lot of people are at that way, I hope, with King Arthur. Like, at first when I looked at him, I was like, oh, whatever, he's just a, you know, a little casual, a little charged, little punchy piece. Now I'm kind of like, stat modification's kind of insane on this guy. I think he might actually end up being, like, really competitive, even though he seems like a lot of points. He's like, you know, prime Spider-Man point range. I actually think he might see a lot of play. So, yeah, I think the only way to find that out is just play the piece, whether that be casually, competitively. You'll be able to see their strengths and weaknesses once you start putting them on the board.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm excited to get one. I think this new set of cons is like some of the best ones that we've seen.
Oh, it's so cool.
Well, I guess since like the release at Worlds. And yeah, I'm excited to get my hands on Arthur and Odin and
King Thor, yeah.
The like the Odin Thor thing. Not Odin Thor.
Sick.
Rune King. Old Thor, King. Whatever.
The Adepticon cons, and then just the Apocalypse pack that I guess we're getting has me so excited. So excited for convention exclusives this year. They're just so sick. Carnage Bruner asks, what is one game mechanic you wish they would bring back or possibly try and reinvent for the current game? Just like how they did pilots in Wheels of Vengeance. So like, kind of pilots, they kind of redid like duo attack in a way with like split and merge, sort of, with some of those like traits and stuff.
Right.
What is a mechanic that I would like to see come back? Maybe epic actions from Lord of the Rings.
Double like power action essentially thing.
Yeah. Like none of them, they were all very bad, except for like one or two that were just broken. So obviously if you bring any mechanic back, make it more balanced or more viable across the board. But I would be cool with epic actions because there was only like two that were ever used. And I do think the idea of double tokening a figure, this is the one thing they do, power action, and then they just let the rest of your team like pop off. I think that's like really cool, where instead of having like a constant checking like effect that's just always in play, instead it's like, all right, I'm going to epic action, double power this guy. Maybe everybody gets charged this turn. That was kind of like what Eomorph and Steed had. So I think epic actions coming back where it's supposed to be like this one big, like you could give those to a leader of each group. Give it to like Captain America, give it to Superman, Batman, Professor X or Cyclops, just any kind of like leader of a team, giving them epic actions. That'd be kind of neat.
I agree. No. I think that'd be pretty solid. I'm trying to think of, I mean, I don't know how long it's been gone at this point, but like title characters would be cool to get back.
I want title characters. Oh, so bad.
Yeah. That'd be really cool to get back. Gosh, the horde stack of bystanders would be interesting if they returned to that, where it was like, I don't know if you remember those, but yeah, it was if you had enough bystanders out, then you had like a horde stack, and they would essentially all occupy the same square. And
I liked those.
They'd get like a different set of powers or like a slightly better stat line or something. They'd get like an extra trait if there was a certain number like stacked, and you would just remove only one at a time when they were attacked. Something like that. That'd be pretty cool. I think I'm a big fan of bystanders. So yeah, I think like the horde mechanic kind of thing that they used to do with those would be interesting.
The mutant student could like pick a power for each mutant student you had in the stack, and that was like super fun. It was like 9 or 15 points each per bystander to put in the stack, but I really thought it was like hilarious being like, yeah, it's my cardboard token, it's gonna have impervious, probability control, pulse wave, sidestep, million powers. It was so fun. Wesley R asks, would you guys be interested in producing live commentary of games during major tournaments? Similar to every pro sports game, live stream the game, add some color commentary from your remote location, giving viewers your unique perspective of the game as they play. We have had so many people ask us or tell us to do commentary for events, and I don't want to get into it.
Insert Ian screaming in the background.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
The long short of it is, it would take a heavy investment of not just time, but also money and manpower. And also, like, we'd have to have, like, dedicated, like, Wi-Fi. It would just take a heavy investment. And we, like, as tournaments go on and stuff, the investment right now is not on the, like, live streaming of content. Like, a lot of people want coverage, and a lot of, like, fans want to see what's going on. But yeah, the issue is, you're talking like a, you know, five figure kind of like situation for maybe 300 people that are going to watch at home, something like that. Like, you know, people will watch it on like the replay, but yeah, it's just not, it's not feasible like where we are as a community right now. But maybe in the future, if we can find like an easy, cheap way to do it, or somebody invents something that just makes it like super simple.
Yeah. I think that's really helpful for, so even like the logistics aside, buying all the stuff, actually setting this up, actually running it, like all of the real life like things aside, I also think it's only really useful for new beginning players or players that don't grasp fully the meta. So I think commentary on a game, again, the bummer thing is commentary for HeroClix. HeroClix is a spoken game. Not so much of it is based off of me pointing, moving, and then rolling dice. Majority of HeroClix is just me talking to another guy for like 40, 50 minutes. Because none of my actions make any sense unless you can clearly hear what I'm saying. So my favorite thing that we did was just get better mics. So that way you could clearly hear what the players are saying, and the players can tell you what they're doing. Now, commentary would merely add, why would they do that? Which then kind of comes to us being like, we kind of either have to assume, or we have to just kind of tell the player or tell the listener or the viewer that this is why we think they're doing this move. But also, if we don't know why they're doing that move, that really doesn't add to the gameplay versus just shutting up, you know, not saying anything and just seeing what they actually do with certain moves. I think a end of the game interview with a player or an end of the game breakdown is actually more useful in HeroClix's sake than commentary would be. Commentary is, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, there's also, I was just going to say real quickly, there's a lot of players out there that will talk through their entire thought process as they're having it. So if we have them mic'd up and it's, I don't know, like I think PJ and like Lucas are both very good at this from people that we have at like top tables quite often. And I've like witnessed, I think they're very good at like counting out squares, saying like things that they couldn't do or that they would like to be able to do. And then like you see them work through their like thought process as they get there. We wouldn't be able to do commentary over that because what's better commentary than having the actual player explain what they're going to do? And we would just be like, oh, okay. So like he just explained what he's going to do. And now he's doing, like, you know,
yeah,
then it would just, our commentary would be, and let's see the dice roll. Seven. Okay.
Nice. Simeon, that was a real tough one. He really needed an eight or higher. That is going to be tough. We'll have to see if Lucas can come back from this. Oh, looks like he's probing it. Like, yeah, I feel like that's most commentary for a HeroClix match. Yeah.
Also, like you were saying, it's a lot of HeroClix is like 4 minutes of thinking, 1 minute of action, and then passes to the next player where like it repeats. It's like, you know, if we're assuming each person takes about 5 minutes per round, that's basically what it, like the breakdown would be. It's like a 4-to-1 ratio on like time spent thinking to actually doing something. And then the doing something isn't the, that's not really the interactive part. That's not really the part that like matters. It's more so the thought process that gets them there. And yeah, we can't put a camera on the inside of someone's brain. Not unless
we've tried. We've really tried.
If Elon repurchases the podcast and sets us up with Neuralinks, then we can do so.
We can try. We can try to make something happen, I suppose. But then yeah, like in sports too, it's, you're not hearing every single player or why the team is making this play, right? I don't watch sports. I really don't. The most sports I've watched in the past like 5 years was I watched a playoff game with Ian last night, or whatever the basketball thing that's happening right now. And I was like, I don't know what any of this means. And then Ian's commentary was like helpful. But like in HeroClix, you know, it's not like LeBron James, he doesn't have to explain everything he's doing. There's commentaries for, versus in HeroClix, it'd be like LeBron James just being like, and then, yeah, so I'm going to walk up five steps this way. I'm going to take a shot here. Let's roll. See if I make it in the hoop. I did. Okay. So now you're going to take it. I'm going to do a free throw. Like that's what HeroClix is. It's just us talking about like what we're doing. So big, long commentary rant over. Thank you, though. Thank you for the questions, guys. We do seriously appreciate it. That was all from our Discord, all from our Patreon. I won't do the spiel again. You already listened to my spiel the first time. If you want to ask us questions and you don't want to join the Patreon, that's okay. You can do like what Andrew Elliott did. You can send us an email at dialhforheroclix@gmail.com. And if you want your questions read and answered live on air, you can go ahead and message us at Facebook. That is Dial H for HeroClix podcast there if you want to go ahead and get in touch. Also, quick shout out to everybody going to HeroClix for Huntington / The Rock Cup this weekend. Good luck to everybody going out there. Safe travels. Hope you guys have a really fun time. We're not going to be there. I'll be at the Philly Fan Expo cosplaying my heart out for 3 days. So I'm excited to have a blast there. But seriously, everybody, like we said, it's the Wild West out there in Alabama in the Silver Age of HeroClix. So make sure you're well prepared to have a good time. And I hope everybody does have a good time. Shout out Azale over at the Alpha Strike. If you want to see some coverage of the event, go ahead and make sure you're subscribed and checking out the Alpha Strike YouTube channel.
Absolutely. And if you want to pick up some figures, you're cutting it close if you want to pick up some figures in time for the Rock Cup. But if you want to pick up some figures, if you want to see who does well, what figures do well, you should go to coolstuffinc.com. Use code DIAL5 to save 5% off your order. They have the newest HeroClix singles and sealed products, so check them out at coolstuffinc.com. Otherwise, maybe keep an eye on the shop.wizkids.com. Who knows what those kooky little kids are getting up to over at shop.wizkids.com. And when you're there, you can use code DIALH10 to save 10% off some of your HeroClix orders. Doesn't work for Iconics specialty figures or pre-release products, but you might find some interesting things, some interesting sales, some older products. You never know what they've got cooking up, so check them out. Use the codes. Save yourself a little bit of money when you do so.
Absolutely. Like always, guys, for all your HeroClix podcasts, videos, and more, make sure you dial H, and happy trails.
So if you're looking for emotional satisfaction, my advice to you is seek professional
HeroClix help.
Ooh. Not going there.
That's how numbers work. Over six people think I am funny.
I'm your Captain America.
That was just you in a costume.
Well, the rest of this case doesn't matter at all.
I'm from Canada.